Father, just thank you for this day. Thank you for the word that's coming forth, Father. Just thank you that it's a word that is heard, Father, and a word that is acted upon. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a portion of a message that I brought a few years back in Ohio a few years back, and so I just wanted to just touch base on a lot of it. The first scripture that came to mind with the theme perfecting purity and procuring God's promises by perfecting our own purity, how to staying pure and stuff. But the first scripture that came to me was from the book of Peter, where it says that in everything judgment will first begin in the house of the Lord. So everything that we have as Christians, we're held accountable for everything that we do or don't do in the kingdom. And so that's things that we have to really be mindful of. If judgment first began in the house of the Lord, and then the scripture goes on, the scripture goes on to say, what about those who, if the righteous are scarcely make it in, if we'll just make it in, what about those who are lost? What about those in the world? How will they get in? The only way they can get in is by hearing the word of God, hearing a message of reconciliation, hearing a message. So that's the only way that they can get in. And who will they hear that message from? They'll hear it from us. So we're accountable for everything that we do or don't do in the kingdom. We're no longer children of darkness. The word says we walk in a marvelous light. Not just any light, but a marvelous light. That's what God has called us to do, to continue to walk in his light. There's a way we're supposed to live our lives that point toward godliness, or keeping with the theme again that they had of perfecting our purity. For those of us who have kids, those of us who are around kids all the time, the very first word that they learn is no, no, no. As soon as they start walking, no. As soon as they start grabbing, no. And so we all set, and we all have natural limits. We all have natural boundaries, and that's just so we can keep them safe. We tell them don't. If they're reaching for a hot stove, don't. No, you can't. No, I can't. And so that's the first thing that kids learn. So when you ask them something, or they don't like anything, they're gonna repeat that same word to you, no. And they're gonna know what it means, what to do with it. And we set boundaries all around them. And lastly, we create an environment to foster safety, for them. When I had the daycare, I had locks on the cabinets. I had to make sure that the food was the right temperature. Had to make sure that when they came to inspect that the floors were spotless, because I had small kids. And so I had to set an environment that fostered between them to foster trust, and not only trust but accountability. In many ways, we limit the power of God in our lives by attempting to apply or incorporate what we think we know into the natural, into the spiritual things of God. We set limits. We set limits on God also. And so we want to be careful about that. When we talk about holiness, we normally get a long list of what we don't do. When you ask a person about being holy in God, what's the first thing they tell you? That they don't drink alcohol to excess. They don't smoke cigarettes. They don't cut. Well, I have a moment or two, but anyway, but I don't cuss like I used to. Amen. But I don't. But they tell you what they don't do. They don't beat up on the spouse or anything. They don't abuse the kids. And so you get a long list of things that they don't do, as opposed to telling you what they do. What do they do? And after hearing this for a while, if we're not careful, we get all puffed up in what we don't do, what we say that we don't do toward our definition of righteousness or purity. We're aware that we should be aware that our righteousness, as the Bible says, are as filthy rags, only good for discarding or burning. That's what it says about our own idea of righteousness. It has nothing to do with God's idea. When we start getting into telling people what we don't do in order to have a way of godliness about it, we forget that our list of don'ts have already been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to talk about what we don't do anymore, because all that's been covered. When Jesus sacrificed his life, when he shed his blood, then all of our don'ts, well, they're already covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. And what's flesh is flesh, and what's spirit is spirit, and we don't need to get those mixed up. We don't need to incorporate the things of the flesh into what God has already said is the spirit. And while we are wrapped up in the flesh, we should be concentrating on the spiritual things of God, because that's where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be setting limitations on what God says that we are to do, where we are to go, what we are to say, because He's already done that. He's already given a way for us to do that. We'll have temptations, and when this arises, let's look to God, to the things of God to stand against it. We're going to be tempted to fuss. We're going to be tempted to fight. We're going to be tempted to do a whole lot of things that we consider to be our don'ts. But we have a cover. We have the Word of God to stand against it. The Bible says if somebody does you wrong, it says if offer them, give them the other cheek, give them your coat, whatever you need to do to get the gospel done. It didn't say become a punching bag, but there's a lot of things that we do for the gospel's sake. I remind yourself that you can do all things through Christ, because He's the one who gives you the strength to do that. Remind yourself that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Remind yourself also that man shall not live by physical bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Continue to tell yourself that you have the mind of Christ. So if Christ thought about it, then it's yours as well. You can do it as well. Jesus did it, you can do it. Do more loosing than binding. Don't hold people in unforgiveness. Just don't do that. Don't gossip. Don't do those things. Lose God's love on the earth. Lose friendship. Lose everything that pertains to godliness in Christ. Lose that instead of bind. I bind you in the name. No, I lose God's love in your life. I'm not going to bind you. You're already bound. I'm not going to bind you anymore. You're done. Okay? And we're building up to what we need. What does God consider purity as? He has a holiness mandate, and that moves us toward godliness. He says, I'm the Lord God, I'm holy, so therefore you be holy as well. And we pointed out again that the gospel is not a gospel of don't and don't. Don't know that don't. The gospel is go and do. Jesus told people who were bound up in don'ts and can'ts, he told them to go do something. Just go watch me. Y'all watch me. The disciples, everywhere he went, the disciples had something negative to say. And those were the ones who were the closest to him. He said when the woman with the issue of blood, when he said, who touched me? Oh God, there's all people all around. You know, Jesus, there's people all around you. You know, we don't know who touched you. But they always had something negative to say to him. But he kept going. Go and do. The gospel of this in its pure and undefiled, most undefiled term, it tells us to care for the poor. It tells us to watch out for widows and orphans. It tells us to heal the sick. That's what the gospel tells us to do. And that's in its most purest and undefiled measure, is that we go and do what God has called us to do. Some of us, and I got to talk about God's people. Some of us won't even give a crumb or a dollar to somebody that's begging on the street. And you know what we say? Begging is a big racket. He make more money than I do in an hour begging. But you know what? That's not our business. That's not our business. God'll give you. He'll give you what you need to know concerning that person that's coming up to you. That person might need the word of God more than he needs a dollar bill. But like I said, God will let you know. Don't worry about whether begging is a racket these days. If someone comes up to you and asks you for a dollar, it's not your place to judge whether he's going to go buy a pint of liquor or whatever the case. That same whiskey might be what'll calm him down enough so that he can hear something, you know, so he can make it. So it's not up to us to judge our fellow man, but to be a blessing when we go and do. And that's why you have the Holy Ghost to give you discernment. It's not, like I said, it's not a matter of giving a dollar or, there was one time and I'm still like that now. I'm afraid to not give. I'm afraid to not give. I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. I'm telling you, I've been blessed to where I have to give. That's just who I am. I must give something to somebody. I have to do it. That's what God has called me to do. And one thing that you got to be careful of those large organizations, especially when you give money, you know, to them and things like that. Yeah, we do. But again, that's why we have the Holy Ghost. The Lord will let you know if you're given to a place that's supposed to feed the hungry, that's supposed to take care of kids. He'll let you know that. And then if you don't want to do a national level, then I think there's plenty. Drinkers, do you think there's plenty of hungry people in Jacksonville? Judy, are there plenty of homeless people in Jacksonville? Yeah? You think so? Do you think there's plenty of women and children in the battered women's shelters in Jacksonville? I think they are. There's plenty of things that we can do. We can get involved locally. We don't have to look toward the international unless God is calling you to do that. Get to know some of the people that run the local charities. See if there's anything that you can do to come help. They have the food kitchen downtown. Who's at the Earth of White mission? They have that downtown. They welcome organizations to come any day of the week to help them feed the homeless that trickle in. You got the Salvation Army. You got everything. On a lighter note, my daughter-in-law's school had a great big greenhouse and nothing was green in it. And so now they've got stuff growing and things like that. So you can volunteer. You can go and do just about anywhere in your local community. You can go to the Dollar Tree. You can get those little dollar bags of toothbrushes, little bitty soaps. You can just run over to Hemming Plaza, which I don't run over to Hemming Plaza, amen. But you can still run over to Hemming Plaza and give out the toothbrushes to the homeless people. I mean, there's nothing that's gonna break the bank. You might not have to get 100, even if you give 5 out and give the word. That's cool. You can read the kids. Going and doing will help eliminate the sin consciousness, eliminate that, all those don'ts and don'ts, and it'll point us toward God's concept. Purity. The Bible tells us too that we've all fallen short. But you know what? But that's all right. We're not supposed to stay short. We're supposed to grow in God's grace. And one of the ways to grow in God's grace is to go and do what He called us to do as His children. And also, this is also a message of relationship, fellowship, and position. And all three of those are contained in the Scriptures. The relationship starts right from Genesis. We're all made in God's image. God breathed into every living soul the desire to seek after Him. When He breathed His breath into man and man became a living soul, every man has a desire. I don't care what they call themselves, atheist, agnostic, form and fashion, they have a desire to know who God is in their lives. They have it because why? Because God put that breath, and that breath descended into every person on this earth. And we laugh a little bit about atheists and agnostics, but we know that if something happens to them, the very first name that they'll scream out is not their mother, not their father, not Jesus. And then they go in front, oh God, if you're real, oh my God, God, if you know, they know He is. At that moment of impact in their lives, they know that God is real. They know He's real. And so, like I said, He breathed that essence of life in Christ, breathed that into every human being. He's the Creator and He is the Father. You have to acknowledge that He is the Father. He is the Father, but we all had to get to a point where we acknowledged Him as the Father. And so once we go and do and the people see the demonstration of power, then they'll want to get to know who God is. We have the fellowship. Where God is called, when He called Abraham friend, that meant that all of us were His friend too, because we're Abraham's children and grafted in. with Adam, the Bible, and I thought it was just so cool. My God, he walked with Adam in the cool of the evening in the garden. I want to do that. I want to do that. You know, but he walked. Yeah. But he walked with Adam in the cool of. Can you imagine? No, I almost can't even imagine how cool that is to just know that you're walking and know that the presence. I mean, just know it. I mean, I can't even. Moses, when he went into the mountain, he was able to see the backside of God. I mean, I'm about to jump up here now. I can't even imagine. You know, it's just too much for me. And Abraham believed beyond belief. I mean, he said he went beyond hope. He went right on into faith. He didn't even bother, you know, with hoping. Oh, I hope I have a son. I hope not. You know, he didn't even bother with that. He just went right on from faith to faith. And then God called Abraham. Can God call you his friend? Can he say that, hey, greet us again? You're my friend. You probably pass out. I gotta, probably just go ahead and pass out. And, he walked with him. And because we are his children, he does the same thing. He does the same thing for us in many ways. He walks right beside us. When you're going and doing, know that God is right there beside you. The Holy Spirit is right there pointing you in the direction to the person you need to talk to, pointing you and advising you, letting you know, okay, this is what I want you to say to Judith. This is what she needs to hear. So you have that. So you have they call it our paraclete, which is our helper. He's always right, always right there beside us. The position is a fulfillment of the other two, of the relationship and the fellowship. Relationship and fellowship gets you into position to receive the promises of God. Look into his promises. I'll always be with you till the end of the earth. You'll never be alone. You'll never be alone. He tells us that you can have what you say. You can have what you say. You think of that, think of those promises. As you think about yourself, so are you. That's a promise. I think I'm the greatest thing that ever happened anywhere at any time. And so that means I am. Because the word says I am. The word said if I think that regardless of what Duval County says, if I think that I'm the greatest teacher in Duval County, then obviously I am. It doesn't matter what they say. I'm the greatest teacher in Duval County. Because you know what? God has put me in position to be that. He put me in that place, and I'm gonna stay in that place. And you know what? I have the heart. I like those movies, Pirates of the Caribbean. I know you all seen that. And they had one episode. They called it The Dead Man's Treasure. Well, I have the dead man's treasure. You know why? Because I'm a dead man. That's what the Bible says. He says, I'm a dead man. You know what I'm dead to? I'm dead to sin and trespass. I'm dead to fornication and adultery. I'm dead to lewd and lascivious behavior. I'm dead to falling down drunk. I'm dead to anything that attempts to keep me from pressing forward toward the mark. And I'm dead to all the lies of dream stealers. I'm dead to all of that. You have dream stealers, we have dream killers. And if you have to be dead to those, because they will attempt to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And I'm alive. I'm dead to those things. But I'm alive because of the blood. I'm alive through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm alive because of the love that my God had for me, so that he gave his son to shed his blood. If it was not for the blood of Jesus Christ, you know what? I would really be dead, but I'd be spiritually dead. I believe that's even worse. That's worse than being physically dead. It's appointed to all of us to die once in the physical life, but we die, we're gonna die again. And I want to be alive in Christ. I want to be seated in heavenly places. I do not want to be in a place where I'm tortured eternally for life. And I don't want anyone around me. I don't want anyone around me to go to hell. And so I must go and do everything that I can to make sure to the best of my ability that no one around me goes to hell. My coworkers, my friends, my neighbors, no one should go. We know that plenty of people are going. The Bible tells us that every day hell enlarges itself. We want to do what we can to cause it to shrink. Let's do that. And I'm getting in position to hear and receive the promises of God. I'm getting in position to move toward God's holiness mandate. And also the condition, there's a condition of the position as well. All is ours. Everything, like I said, you can have what you say. It's all ours. What God has is ours. He has a cattle on a thousand hills. We have a cattle on a thousand hills. Why? Because we're his children. He told Adam in the garden. He said, you can eat anything in here except for that tree. But you can eat anything. Everything in here is good for you. Except that one tree. And he said, if you did eat of it, what would happen? He said, you'll surely die. And what dies? What would die? The relationship that we have between us and God. The fellowship will die. And if the fellowship dies, we're no longer in position to procure the thing, procure those promises if we don't do that. Once again, judgment begins first in the house of God. And so we're held accountable. Made Whole Ministries is accountable for what it does and does not do according to the gospel. Let God be true, and let every man be a liar, because it's in us to lie, but God's word is true. And like I said before, God does not intend, if we all fall short, it doesn't intend for us to stay short. It intends for us to grow and grow and grow. Some of us, we have the vices, but in the same breath, we have virtue because of Jesus Christ. And where's your witness? What is it to say that we are practicing Christians? Where's the witness? It's a joy to lead others to Christ, but the true reward is being a living epistle that people can see. People can see us, that fosters true Christian discipleship in the life of another. And so it's not enough to just say, go and be healed. Go and be healed. We need to trust God. The Bible says that some plant, some water, but God is the one who gives the increase. If we're the planter or the waterer, then let's do that. And then let's trust God with the increase. We don't have to walk around. We don't have to walk around. Are you sure you're healed? Once we leave them, we don't have to go back, because we've already trusted God to do the healing. We've already trusted Him to do whatever it is He needed to do in those person lives. A lot of times we, as believers, unfortunately, we think too small. In order to get what God has for us, we've got to think like He does, and think like He is. He's big. Our God is big. That's a finite word for us as human beings, but is limitless. His power is limitless. And we have that too. We haven't mastered all of that quite yet, but we're beginning to scratch the surface as people and believers that our God is big. And once we discover that He's big, we'll start doing more walking by faith and not by sight. It's not what our physical eyes see, but it's what our spirit does. And that's where it gets big. We even say in our hearts, and even to God, God, this is impossible. I don't see, but that's not walking by faith, and that's walking by sight. Keep your eyes off the circumstances. We don't have a circumstantial God. He's not a circumstantial God. He's a God. He has a proven track record of getting things accomplishment. And remember that with God, all things are possible. I think I'm done for now. Amen. Just remember to go and do. Be a living epistle of what God has called. I think there is more, but I'm done for now. The key is to go and do. Don't be limited by.